B-Pod Studios.
But let's talk to the man who covers this issue right now for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Keith Pompey joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Keith, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing well. What's up, Mike? How you been?
I'm doing okay. Let's talk about that loss and how that possibly happened on that last play. Describe what they were trying to do on that last play, because it certainly didn't work out.
I mean, I think it was one of the, well, first of all, they didn't have a timeout, which kind of affected things. But, you know, it looked like Ben Simmons had some options. I mean, he had either he can go to the rim or he can, you know, give the ball to Jimmy, who basically is the guy they want to, you know, take that last shot. You know, unfortunately, it just looked like once he shot the ball, he got the ball, and then both guys converged on him. And if you notice, he basically shot the ball off his back foot, and it was kind of like a desperation heave. I mean, I felt like they might have been a little bit better suited if Ben would have just drove the lane, you know, and possibly got fouled. It just looked like, you know, I mean, I just didn't like that play, especially when you got Joel Embiid trailing in the back. I just felt like, you know, I just didn't like it at all. I mean, I like Jimmy Butler when you give him the ball and you're running isolation and you could run the clock down, you know, but in that type of situation, getting the ball, catch and shoot, so to speak, a dribble handoff, I think J.J. Redick is better suited shooting that shot, or Ben Simmons just taking it and going to the rim.
Yeah, I agree with you. And here's what it brings up, Keith, and you've heard it. I mean, it brings up people saying this end-of-game coaching, that sometimes this head coach is a little overmatched. Now, do you subscribe to that? Or, like, how can things change and get better?
You know, it's weird because, like, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I can see where people say that, but a lot of times it's also the Jimmy and the Joes as opposed to the X's and the O's. And I think that, you know, until you have, you know, Ben Simmons takes more shots from the outside, you know, until you get in the right situations, you know, it's kind of hard to always blame the coach. Now again, you are right now, but see, it's also one of those things where people always want certain things. People, last time they ran a play for J.J. Redick at the end, people were like, what the heck is the coach doing? He needs to be fired. Now it's like, let's give the ball to Jimmy Butler. It just so happened you gave him the ball at the wrong situation. And again, no one told, you know, Brett Brown didn't tell Jimmy Butler to foul Paul George at the end of the play. You know what I mean? The previous possession. You know, he wasn't the reason why Paul George got open. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes we have to hold the players accountable. But at the same time, when it keeps happening like this, you do have to, you know, go after the coach and blame the coach.
Keith, they played well against Minnesota. They did play well against Oklahoma City. They should have won the game. So where is the chemistry right now? I know they've been searching for this elusive chemistry with Butler on the floor, and I'm wondering where you see it is now.
You know, I think it's getting better. I mean, I do. I mean, because if you notice in the last three games, it was a little different. You know, it was more like they're doing, especially the last two, yeah, the last three. What they're doing is they're doing more of a two-man game with Embiid and Jimmy Butler, where you have Ben Simmons, you know, he's getting his spots. You know, J.J. is getting his shots. Now, I think the major problem with this team, and Mike, you know basketball, it's like they rely so heavily on their top four players, talking about the big three and J.J. Redick. And I think that, you know, Wilson Chandler, they got to get him more involved. He only took four shots that last game, you know. And then their bench. I mean, you know, Landry Shamet, Jonah Bolden, Mike Muscala. I mean, these guys have to give you more. And then the first two games, Minnesota and Indiana, they played well. This last game, you know, they weren't as effective, nor was Wilson Chandler. So that puts too much pressure on the other three to do, or the other four to do something. And it's just, I think they need to upgrade the bench. That's the major thing right there.
Yeah, and we're all screaming for it. And I wonder if you have any, well, first of all, let me ask you this question, because I know where it's going to lead to the second question. Do you believe in their current form that they could beat any of the top three teams in the East in a seven-game series?
Nope. I mean, Now, the thing is, Indiana, I think that they can beat Indiana if they get, like, home court advantage just because they're a bad matchup for Indiana. But the other, like, I don't see them beating Boston. I do not see them beating Toronto or Milwaukee. I do not see it at all. And I think that, you know, like you said, they got to get some upgrades on the roster because I just don't see it happening. Now, with Indiana, I think whoever has home court advantage will win that one. But, nah, they can't beat the other teams right now.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. So that leads to what Elton Brand may have up his sleeve. Do you have any idea what they're looking for, who might be in play for them to get right now?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm thinking about that. And unfortunately for the Sixers, and I heard you had Brett Brown on of maybe a month ago, and, you know, he was talking about Trevor Ariza,
yeah,
who would have been the best person for that team. You know, you're talking to people, and Washington is like, yo, we got him. We're not trying to buy him out. Sorry, Sixers, y'all aren't going to get him. And then so you look at it and you're saying, wow, the buyout market and the trade market might not be as plentiful as it was last year just because a lot of the teams who have players that the Sixers might want are still in contention for the playoffs. So you're looking at four guys who could be available, and you just don't see it happening. Like, one guy is Ernest Kanter. You know, he could be a backup five for the Sixers from the Knicks. Jabari Parker, I don't know. He doesn't play any defense. I don't know how that will work. Then you have, like, Robin Lopez, who could be a backup for Embiid as well, and he could give you, like, you know, quality minutes with Embiid being hurt. And then the one dude I think the Sixers, you know, are intrigued by but they're going to stay away from is, like, J.R. Smith. You know what I mean? Like, you could possibly trade for him, you know, next year after this season. Only 3.8 is, like, guaranteed on his contract. But, again, like, we're talking about, are any of these guys really a good fit for the team? You know, Parker doesn't play any D.
Yeah, so, see, I think everybody is hoping that there's better than that that is available.
They're hoping, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they could surprise us, but, you know, I don't know. I would really like, you know what I would like, Mike? I would really like to see them play Corey Brewer more. I'm not saying he's a savior.
I agree.
But all I'm saying is let's see what he can do.
I agree. He's got experience and can help out in a lot of ways. Last question. The Embiid back situation. Played two games in a row on it with tightness. Charles Barkley ripped the Sixers for him playing against Minnesota. What's the situation with that? And are they planning to sit him here?
You know, it's one of those things. You know, I know the Sixers don't like people saying this or talking about this, but it's ultimately up to Embiid. I mean, he always makes the decision. You know, they may fight him or they may say this and say that, but it's typically his decision to make. And I would assume that he would play today and then probably rest on Wednesday, you know, to get ready for that West Coast trip. But, you know, it's a tough situation because, you know, they're so much better with him on the floor. And when you take him off there, they struggle. Now, this could be a good game because, you know, Clint Capella is not playing. You know, they have they're going to go play an undersized team and play small ball. So this could be a good opportunity to rest them. But knowing it's on national TV, I mean, I think Embiid is going to do everything in his power to play tonight.
Yeah, I agree. So who guards Harden tonight? Will Ben Simmons guard Harden?
Man, I think if Jimmy Butler is able to go, because they're saying he's questionable with a wrist injury. If he's able to go, I think you got to put Jimmy Butler on him. I mean, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, came here supposed to be the lockdown player. Well, then you got to try to go up against Harden. I mean, you just have to. So I think you have to put Butler on him.
It'll be an interesting watch. Keith, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
All right, man. There he is. Keith Pompey covers the Sixers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.